today, our source material is exactly 13 words long.
Right. Yeah. Just 13 words.
No charts, like no data sets, no hidden appendices, literally just a title.
It's pretty unusual.
Yeah, but those 13 words, they contain like the entire psychological struggle, the historical gatekeeping, and the intense behavioral friction of modern wealth
Oh,
building.
absolutely.
So if you are tuning in while commuting or prepping for a major meeting or just because you are fiercely curious about the hidden mechanics of the world, welcome to a highly unusual mission for this deep dive.
The very unusual one, yeah.
Normally we take mountains of complex research and synthesize it, but today we are staring at a minimalist fragment to understand why the human brain is so utterly terrible at following its own advice.
Yeah, it's a radical departure from our usual format.
Totally.
We are essentially doing like an archaeological dig on a single isolated artifact, trying to reconstruct the whole civilization that produced it.
And here is that artifact. The entirety of our source text for today's deep dive, word for word, ready.
Let's hear it.
Excerpts from How to Build a Diversified Investment Portfolio. How to Build a Diversified Investment Portfolio.
Right. That's it.
That is literally it.
Got
That
it.
is the whole document. I mean, my initial reaction when I saw this in the stack was to assume someone made like a colossal formatting error.
Honestly, same here. It looks like a typo.
Right. But the more I looked at it, the more it felt like a provocation.
Oh, for sure.
We spent our lives drowning in this ocean of content, desperately skimming 10,000-word articles for one usable insight. And here we are, forced to stop and confront the literal premise of a promise.
Yeah, the brevity is really what makes it so demanding. Because when you strip away the tactical noise, the specific stock picks, the bond yield curves, the algorithmic trading
And
strategies,
all the jargon.
exactly, all the jargon, and you're just left with the skeletal structure of human anxiety and aspiration.
Oh, wow.
The reason a title like this even exists, the reason it was drafted, published, and eventually landed on our desk, is because it speaks to a very modern, very specific vulnerability.
Which is what exactly?
It is the quest for structural resilience in a macroeconomic environment that feels, frankly, entirely hostile and unpredictable.
That makes so much sense. So for you, the learner listening to this, the value today isn't in us giving you like a list of ticker symbols.
Oh, definitely not.
The value is in deconstructing why this 13-word string is actually a psychological trap, a historical anomaly, and basically a behavioral gauntlet.
A gauntlet is the perfect word for it.
So let's tear into the anatomy of this title. The source text begins with the phrase excerpts from.
Right. Excerpts from.
We aren't even getting the full text of a hypothetical book here. We are getting fragments.
And that concept of the excerpt is, it's arguably the defining characteristic of modern information consumption.
Yeah, we live on excerpts now.
Exactly. The text is immediately confessing its own incompletion. It's telling us that somewhere a larger cohesive architecture actually exists.
But we don't get to see it.
Right. We are only being granted access to a curated sliver. And this immediately introduces the problem of information asymmetry.
Okay, unpack that a bit. Information asymmetry.
Well, when you only consume excerpts of financial philosophy, you are essentially trying to understand the structural engineering of a skyscraper by looking at a single steel beam.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
It's incomplete.
But wait, isn't that exactly how the financial industry interacts with the retail public anyway? Through excerpts.
Unquestionably, yeah.
Like sound bites on financial television, 2-minute TikTok videos about, options trading, a newsletter promising the top three assets for the next quarter. We are fed these fragments of a highly complex system, and we're just expected to build a stable life out of them.
It's a huge problem.
It feels less like a helpful curation and more like, I don't know, a systemic failure to provide genuine context.
That is a highly critical, and I would argue very accurate, read of the landscape.
Really?
Yeah, because the danger of the excerpt in a financial context is that it isolates the action from the strategy.
Interesting. Okay.
You might get the excerpt on what to buy, right?
Yeah, the hot stock tip.
Exactly. But you miss the preceding three chapters on why to buy it, how to size the position, and under what conditions you should actually sell it.
Right. The exit strategy.
Yes. The omission of that surrounding text is often where the actual risk is hiding.
Man, that is so true.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next two words, which I think are probably the most deceptive words in the English language when placed next to each other.
Let me guess. How to?
Yes. How to. I look at this and I just think, like, who is this actually serving?
That's a great question.
We treat how-to as this great equalizer, you know, this beautiful democratization of knowledge.
Right, like anyone can do it now.
Exactly. But giving someone a how-to guide for open-heart surgery doesn't make them a cardiothoracic surgeon.
No, it definitely does not.
So why do we just assume a how-to guide for macroeconomic asset allocation actually empowers the reader?
You are hitting on the central illusion of what I like to call the how-to industrial complex.
Oh, I like that phrase. The how-to industrial complex.
Historically, navigating global capital markets was not something the average citizen was tasked with doing at all.
Right. It was pensions and stuff.
Exactly. It was the domain of institutions, private wealth managers, state pensions. The responsibility of capital allocation was gatekept, yes, but it was also outsourced.
You didn't have to worry about it.
Right. The rise of the how-to guide in retail finance marks a massive quiet shift in liability.
Oh, it's the ultimate offloading of responsibility, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is.
The system basically says, look, we gave you the instruction manual. We democratized the tools.
Mm-hmm. You have Robinhood now. You have ETFs.
Yeah. So if you fail to build the portfolio and end up destitute in your 60s, well, it's your own fault for not following the steps.
Precisely the mechanic at play.
That's dark.
It is. The how-to prefix masquerades as empowerment, but it functions as an abdication of systemic support.
Yeah.
It assumes that the only barrier between the reader and financial security is just a lack of information.
Which is wildly untrue.
Completely untrue. It ignores the systemic barriers, wage stagnation, inflation, lack of deployable capital that actually prevent the building process from occurring.
Wow.
It is a linguistic framing that places the entire burden of survival onto the individual, and it wraps it up in the optimistic, actionable tone of a weekend DIY project.
Well, let's focus on that concept of the DIY project, because the author specifically chose the word build.
Right. They didn't write how to select.
Exactly. They didn't write how to select a diversified portfolio or how to inherit one. Build implies a temporal constraint.
It implies time and effort. Yeah.
It demands active, prolonged labor. And this is where I think the friction between our human biology and financial reality gets incredibly aggressive.
Oh, the verb build is fundamentally at odds with our evolutionary hardwiring. Well, human beings are biologically optimized for immediate environmental reactions.
Like surviving a tiger attack.
Right. If there are calories available, consume them now. If there is a threat, run now. Mm-hmm. We are not evolved to forego current consumption for the benefit of a highly abstract conceptual entity 30 years in the future.
Right.
You know, an entity we vaguely refer to as our future self.
Yes, the psychological empathy gap. I mean, I don't know the 80-year-old version of myself.
Nobody does.
I have zero emotional connection to him, but the 30-something version of me would really, really like to take a vacation to Italy next month.
Of course. That's tangible.
The word build is demanding that I take resources away from the person I am today, the person whose desires I feel acutely, and hand them over to a stranger living in a future decade.
This is the core of hyperbolic discounting.
Hyperbolic discounting. Okay, explain that to us.
Our brains apply a massive discount rate to future rewards. A dollar today feels infinitely more valuable than $10 in 3 decades.
Because tomorrow isn't promised.
Partially, but also because the future is a hallucination to the brain, whereas the present is a tactile reality.
Oh, that's wild. The future is a hallucination.
Right. Therefore, a title that demands you build an investment portfolio is not just asking for your money.
No.
It is demanding that you actively fight your own basal ganglia. It requires you to manufacture an artificial sense of urgency for a threat that won't materialize for decades.
It's a completely unnatural state of being. And the building process itself is agonizingly slow.
So slow.
We want the lightning strike. We want the, you know, the crypto token that goes up 10,000% in a week. We want to be done.
Right. The lottery ticket mentality.
Exactly. But building implies pouring the foundation, letting it cure, framing the walls one agonizing paycheck at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the architecture of effort. And frankly, effort is boring.
The boredom is the feature, not the bug. But it is a feature that the modern human mind violently rejects.
Because of our phones.
Largely, yeah. We are conditioned by our digital environments for constant variable rewards.
The dopamine hits.
Exactly. The dopamine loops of social media, and especially gamified retail trading platforms, have trained us to expect immediate feedback.
Like confetti when you buy a stock.
Yes. But true structural wealth building is defined by a distinct lack of immediate feedback.
Yeah.
You lay a brick and nothing happens. You lay another brick and nothing happens. The feedback loop is measured in business cycles, not milliseconds.
Man. Which naturally leads us to the object that we are supposedly putting all this agonizing anti-biological effort into constructing a diversified investment portfolio.
Right. The end goal.
The title explicitly states the target output. Mm-hmm. But I want to aggressively push back on this premise right now. Let's be real.
Okay, let's hear it.
Nobody gets truly wealthy through extreme diversification.
That's, well, yes.
Wealth is created through heavy concentration, right?
Yeah.
Starting a business, holding a massive equity stake in a single successful venture, making a highly concentrated bet. Diversification is merely how wealth is preserved once you already have it.
Yeah.
So my question is this title actually selling a lie to the working class?
Wow. That is a brutally honest read of macroeconomic mobility.
But am I wrong?
No, you are identifying the profound tension at the heart of retail finance. You are absolutely correct that from a mathematical standpoint, immense alpha-like outlier wealth generation requires idiosyncratic risk.
It requires all your eggs in one basket.
It requires concentration, yeah. If you diversify your assets across every sector of the global economy, you are mathematically guaranteeing that you will simply capture the average return of the global economy.
Exactly. You're guaranteeing mediocrity.
Well, average, yes.
If I spread my bets across thousands of companies, I am protecting myself from going to zero, sure. But I am also structurally preventing myself from rocketing to the moon.
Right.
I am inherently diluting my own upside. So why is this universally sold as the ultimate goal for the learner?
Because the inverse of that concentration is the systemic ruin of the individual.
Okay, wait. The systemic ruin.
Yes. Concentration builds immense wealth for the outliers, but it bankrupts the statistical majority.
Oh, because most businesses fail.
Exactly. The financial industry, and indeed macroeconomic stability as a whole, cannot afford a population that takes highly concentrated idiosyncratic risks.
Because if everyone swung for the fences and missed,
the failure rate would result in a catastrophic burden on the state.
Oh, wow. Never thought of it like that.
Diversification is sold as the ultimate goal because it is the only mathematically viable strategy for the aggregate population to outpace inflation without risking absolute ruin.
So it's a defensive posture. It's not an offensive weapon. It's a shield.
It is entirely defensive. And to understand the mechanics of that defense, we really have to move away from the rudimentary metaphors usually applied to diversification.
You mean like the eggs in one basket thing?
Exactly. The eggs in one basket analogy is drastically insufficient for understanding modern global markets.
What's a better way to look at it?
A much more accurate framework is to view diversification through the lens of ecosystem resilience and structural load distribution.
Okay, walk me through that.
Yeah.
How does the ecosystem model explain the mechanics of a portfolio better than a basket of eggs?
Consider modern industrial agriculture, specifically a monoculture farm.
Okay, like a giant cornfield.
Right. If you plant 10,000 acres of a single genetically identical crop, say, a specific strain of wheat, you have optimized for extreme efficiency.
And concentrated output.
Yes, in perfect environment.
Mm-hmm.
But you have also created a structurally fragile system.
Because they're all the same.
Right. If a single pathogen or pest is introduced that specifically targets that genetic strain, the entire 10,000-acre system collapses to zero simultaneously.
There are no internal firewalls.
Exactly.
Because the vulnerability is shared across the entire system. It's perfectly correlated risk.
You nailed it. Perfectly correlated risk. Now, contrast that with an old-growth biodiverse forest. You have hundreds of different species of flora, varying root depths, different nutrient requirements, and different vulnerabilities.
Right. A mix of everything.
If a blight attacks the oak trees, the oaks may die, but the pines, the ferns, and the underbrush remain entirely unaffected.
The ecosystem absorbs the shock.
Yes. The overall biomass of the forest remains stable, even as individual components experience catastrophic failure.
Okay, so translating that to the text we are analyzing. How to Build a Diversified Investment Portfolio is actually an instruction manual on how to artificially construct a biodiverse financial forest.
Exactly.
You're buying different asset classes, equities, government debt, real estate, commodities, specifically because you want them to react differently to the same macroeconomic pathogen.
That is the crucial mechanism right there. Non-correlation, or ideally negative correlation.
Meaning they move in opposite directions.
Right. You do not just want different assets. You want assets that fundamentally disagree with each other on how to react to inflation, how to react to a liquidity crisis, and how to react to geopolitical shocks.
Like a seesaw.
Basically, yeah. If interest rates spike, your growth equities might suffer, but your floating rate debt instruments or certain value sectors might thrive.
Okay, I see.
The portfolio acts as a closed, resilient system that dampens volatility through opposing internal forces.
But hold on, doesn't modern globalization severely compromise this?
How do you mean?
Well, I am looking at recent market history, and it feels like the old growth forest is turning into a monocrop farm.
Yes.
During major liquidity events like the crash in March 2020 or the financial crisis of 2008, it seemed like the correlation of all assets suddenly jumped to one.
They absolutely did.
The oaks, the pines, the ferns, everything burned at the exact same time. Equities crashed, bonds sold off as people desperately sought cash, gold dropped.
Yeah, a massive sell-off.
If the global market is so hyper-connected by algorithmic trading and centralized liquidity, is the diversified investment portfolio promised in this title actually a relic of a bygone era?
That is perhaps the most sophisticated challenge to the premise of our source text.
Because it just doesn't work anymore.
Well, the phenomenon you are describing is often summarized by the market adage. In a true liquidity crisis, all correlations go to one.
Okay.
When systemic leverage has to be unwound rapidly, institutions sell what they can sell, not just what they want to sell.
Right.
And that drags everything down, regardless of its fundamental underlying value.
Right. Like if a massive hedge fund gets margin called on a bad tech bet, they might have to liquidate their completely unrelated, perfectly healthy agricultural assets just to raise the cash to cover the hole.
Exactly.
So the contagion spreads across asset classes that theoretically should have been firewalled from each other.
And this exposes the hidden fragility in the how-to premise.
It's not as simple as the title makes it sound?
Not at all. The title implies a static architecture. It suggests you can build this structure according to a blueprint, and then it simply exists, protecting you.
But the reality is dynamic.
Yes. If modern asset correlations are dynamic and highly unstable during periods of extreme stress, the definition of what constitutes diversified is constantly mutating.
Damn, that's exhausting.
It is. The missing text of this document would have to grapple with the reality that holding international stocks and domestic stocks is no longer true diversification if both markets are entirely tethered to the same central bank monetary policy.
This makes the psychological burden we talked about earlier even heavier.
Oh, absolutely.
We are asking the learner to fight their biology, to defer immediate gratification, to slowly build a defensive shield, all while holding the terrifying knowledge that in a true Category 5 economic hurricane, the shield might just evaporate anyway.
Which brings us to the most brutal psychological reality of actually owning the portfolio this title describes.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. If you have successfully built a truly diversified portfolio, meaning you hold assets with non-correlated return streams, you are guaranteeing yourself a state of perpetual psychological discomfort.
Because something is always bleeding.
Precisely. In any given market cycle, if your portfolio is genuinely diversified, there is an absolute mathematical certainty that at least one of your asset classes is performing terribly.
Right.
If global equities are on a massive multi-year bull run, your safe haven assets, your hedges, or your commodities might be stagnant or actively losing value.
And this is where the behavioral friction goes nuclear. Let's talk about the dinner party problem.
Oh, the classic dinner party problem.
You go to a gathering and your neighbor is bragging about how they put their entire net worth into a single speculative tech stock or a cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah, we all have that neighbor.
And they just tripled their money in 6 months. Meanwhile, you follow the how-to guide. You built the diversified portfolio.
You did the responsible thing.
You own some of that tech stock, sure. But you also own boring municipal bonds and international value stocks.
Right.
So your portfolio is only up a modest amount.
Right.
The math says you are safer. But the psychology says you are a loser.
The fear of missing out, or FOMO, is not just a cultural buzzword. It is a profound behavioral vulnerability that dismantles perfectly logical financial architecture.
It really does.
The pain of underperforming your peers in a bull market is often cited by behavioral economists as more acute than the pain of losing money in a bear market alongside everyone else.
Wait, really? We'd rather lose money with the group than make less money alone.
Yes. We are deeply social creatures. Our perception of security is completely relative to our tribe.
If the tribe is getting rich and you are just staying stable, you feel like you are falling behind.
Exactly.
It takes an almost sociopathic level of emotional detachment to look at a booming, concentrated market and willingly choose to hold a basket of assets that includes intentional underperformers.
It does.
You are basically paying an ongoing emotional tax for structural insurance.
And this is why the Rorschach test nature of our missing text is so fascinating to me.
What do you mean?
We only have the title, How to Build a Diversified Investment Portfolio.
Right.
If we accept that the actual mathematical construction is relatively straightforward, allocate capital across non-correlated asset classes based on risk tolerance and time horizon, then what on earth would the rest of the book consist of?
Oh, good point.
Why would it require a long, detailed instructional manual if the math is that simple?
Oh, this is the crux of the whole exercise right here. If I am forced to write the missing chapters based on the 13 words on the cover, I am not spending 300 pages on the math of the efficient frontier.
No.
I am spending 300 pages on behavioral psychology.
Exactly. The architecture of the missing text, logically, must be heavily weighted toward emotional regulation, not just asset allocation.
Wow.
The how-to cannot merely be mechanical. It must be psychological armor.
Chapter 1, The Math of Load Distribution. Chapter 2, How to Ignore Your Brother-in-Law's Crypto Wallet.
Yes.
Chapter 3, The Zen of Owning Things You Currently Hate. Chapter 4, Why Boring is the Only Sustainable Strategy.
Spot on.
The entire book has to be a reprogramming manual for the human ego.
You are outlining the exact necessary structure. Because the moment you finish the physical act of building, you enter the infinitely more difficult phase of maintaining.
Right. It doesn't end when it's built.
No. And maintaining a diversified portfolio often requires the incredibly counterintuitive act of rebalancing.
Okay, let's explain the mechanics of rebalancing to the learner, because I think it perfectly highlights the sadistic logic of diversification.
Sure. Rebalancing is the act of returning your portfolio to its original target allocation after market movements have skewed it.
Okay.
Let us assume your blueprint called for an ecosystem that was 50% equity forest and 50% fixed income grassland.
Got it. 50-50.
Over a two-year period, the equity forest experiences explosive growth. It doubles in size. The fixed income grassland remains completely flat.
Right.
Now your portfolio is 75% equities and 25% fixed income. You are no longer diversified according to your original risk parameters.
You've become overexposed to equities. So the logic of the portfolio dictates that you must intervene. You have to chop down part of the thriving forest and use the proceeds to buy more of the stagnant grassland.
You are mathematically forced to sell your absolute best performing assets, the assets that are making you wealthy, the assets that have immense momentum, and actively push that capital into the assets that have done absolutely nothing for you.
That sounds crazy when you say it out loud.
You are systematically buying the losers and selling the winners.
It violates every human instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Momentum feels safe, you know?
It does.
If something is going up, our brain says, hold on to it. It will keep going up forever.
Mm-hmm.
If something is flatlining, our brain says, abandon it.
Mm-hmm.
Rebalancing forces you to act as a contrarian against your own success. It is an incredibly unnatural mechanical discipline.
Which loops us back to the immense weight of the word build in our source text.
Uh-huh.
Building is not a one-time event that you check off a list. It is an ongoing active resistance against entropy and against your own behavioral biases. The title implies a destination, but the reality of the subject matter is an endless recurring cycle of maintenance, emotional regulation, and contrarian action.
Let's pull back and look at the sheer density of what we have just unpacked.
It's a lot.
We started with a source text that I frankly thought was a joke, a 13-word repetition. Excerpts from How to Build a Diversified Investment Portfolio. How to Build a Diversified Investment Portfolio.
Right.
But by refusing to dismiss it, by holding a magnifying glass to the specific linguistic framing, we have uncovered a massive interconnected web of modern anxieties.
We've transitioned from analyzing syntax to analyzing the structural vulnerability of the modern financial participant.
Yeah, we explored how excerpts from highlights the danger of asymmetric information and context collapse.
Mm.
We dismantled the illusion of the how-to industry, recognizing it as a quiet transfer of liability from the institution to the individual.
And we looked at how the word build wages war against our evolutionary biology.
Right. demanding that we overcome hyperbolic discounting to serve a future self we cannot even conceptualize.
Yes.
And we aggressively challenge the reality of a diversified investment portfolio, acknowledging that while it is mathematically necessary as a defensive shield, it guarantees perpetual emotional discomfort.
FOMO, the friction of rebalancing.
A lot of it. In an era where global asset correlations are increasingly unstable.
It really demonstrates the profound power of premise.
What do you mean?
Often, we are so desperate to get to the actionable advice, the steps, the bullet points, the ticker symbols, that we blindly accept the foundational framing without interrogation.
Right. We just want the answers.
But if you do not deconstruct the premise of the title, you will inevitably misinterpret the text that follows. Or worse, you will execute a strategy that is fundamentally misaligned with your own psychological reality.
And this is exactly why we do this for you, the learner. The true shortcut to being well-informed isn't memorizing a list of facts. It's understanding the structural mechanics of the systems you are forced to operate within.
Absolutely.
If you clicked on this deep dive, you already have the most vital component required for survival in this environment. The willingness to interrogate the blueprint before you pour the foundation.
Because knowledge is only a protective asset when it is deeply understood and rigorously stress-tested.
Yes.
The fact that we only possess the title today was not a limitation. It was a catalyst. Yeah. It forced us to generate the missing context through critical analysis rather than passive consumption.
That's beautifully said.
By actively engaging with the void left by the missing excerpts, the listener has essentially constructed their own conceptual framework for risk management.
You didn't just listen to a summary today. You engaged in a massive hour-long resistance training session for your critical thinking.
Definitely a workout.
You are walking away with an upgraded mental model for how to evaluate risk, how to recognize the behavioral traps set by the financial industry, and how to understand the immense psychological fortitude required to actually execute a long-term strategy.
The absence of the text proved to be the ultimate instructional tool. It proves that the most complex architectures are often hidden within the simplest, most unassuming phrases.
So as we close the book on this incredibly minimalist, strangely profound source material, I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
We spent all this time reverse engineering the missing chapters, talking about the psychological armor and the mechanical discipline required to survive the reality of this title.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the friction we discussed, the empathy gap with your future self, the agony of ignoring momentum, the terrifying realization that the old growth force of global markets might just be highly correlated kindling in the next liquidity crisis.
It's a lot to process.
It is. So if you had to sit down right now with all that behavioral reality clear in your mind and write the very first sentence of the missing text for how to build a diversified investment portfolio.
Yeah.
A sentence designed specifically to protect you from your own worst instincts. What would that sentence be?